This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury, and this is Open for Business here on Enterprise. Today, I'm going to be speaking with Employment Hero. Ben Thompson is the CEO and founder of Employment Hero. They're a scalable, cross-borders employment solutions suite for SMEs with comprehensive automated solutions for employee recruitment, management, payroll, and benefits. Back in November of 2020, they launched in Malaysia and have gained quite a bit of traction with their kicking off their survey campaign as they managed to provide insights on what SME employees are looking for in 2021, what SME employers need more of to enable job satisfaction from their employees, and what motivates them to stay in a company or move. Ben, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you for having me, Rich. It's great to be here.
Absolute pleasure. How are things over there in Sydney right now?
They're not so bad. We don't have too many cases of COVID-19, one or two per day, and there's not that much lockdown anymore. Most states are open for business, but you can't travel between states. Other than that, it's the middle of summer, so we've got beautiful weather and feeling very lucky to be here.
Well, you lucky so-and-sos. Let's talk a little bit about a few things first. Let's get to the beginning of Employment Hero. How it was set up, why, and how you managed to fund this thing.
Yeah, sure. So it was actually it's sort of a realization that happened by mistake. I'm a lawyer and an economist by trade. I've worked in finance. I wanted to work for myself, and I started my own legal practice. And within a few weeks of meeting many clients who are typically small businesses, I realized that there was a universal problem that needed to be solved by somebody. And that problem was that people are keen to go into business and be entrepreneurial, or they inherit a business or start a business, whatever it is. But as soon as they start that business, for whatever reason they do, they realize that the thing that takes them the most time and saps most of their energy is employment. It's managing people, finding people, motivating people. And no one, or very, very few people, actually go to university or get specific training to be great employers. But getting employment wrong is very, very bad. You know, in society, you don't want to be a bad employer. So it just occurred to me that 99% of all businesses on the planet are small and medium-sized businesses. 70% of all jobs on this planet are provided by those small and medium-sized businesses. Yet just about every single one of those small and medium-sized businesses would love help in being a great employer. They would like more time. They would like more resources. They would like to feel more confident about being an employer. And so it was that sort of realization that there's this universal opportunity to help businesses that really drove me to launch Employment Hero. And from there, it's just been putting one foot in front of the other each day.
Please go ahead.
In terms of funding, so I use my other business, my law firm and my HR business to create the technology company that is Employment Hero. I used my own money for the first 1 or 2 years and then realized that a SaaS business, software as a service business like Employment Hero, requires a lot of capital to go out and find a lot of customers and build up a big user base before it starts making money. So at that point, I went out and raised capital from venture funds in Australia, One Ventures and Airtree Ventures, which are two of Australia's largest venture capital funds. And then following that, we've raised money with a company called Seek, an Australian listed business called Seek, which owns JobsDB and JobStreet, which you might be familiar with. And we've raised about $22 million through Seek and have partnered with them to basically continue our mission of making employment easier to manage and more rewarding for everyone.
And I imagine that when you're kind of selling this idea to your investors or the fund people, that it wasn't necessarily a difficult sell, I'd imagine, because everybody has many people have worked for a company that might not necessarily have the best boss, the best management, or they feel as though they're not fitting into the company correctly. Would that be accurate to say?
Absolutely. I don't think I've ever met a person who owns a business who doesn't recognize that employment and managing employment and everything that comes with that, payroll and benefits and psychology of, motivation, that they all want some level of help. No one's really ever been able to crack the best way to deliver that help en masse and internationally to all the businesses that need it. And that's what we're trying to do.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about the survey that you did. I've got a press release for your survey here, and at the top it's the toll of the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic has also prompted over half of young Malaysian employees to request additional mental health support, as well as better work-life balance and flexible arrangements. Now, quickly talk me through some of the other questions that you asked in the survey, were there any results in there that might have surprised you?
Yeah, I think it was quite interesting to see. So one of the questions was work-life flexibility. How important is that to you? And we knew that with COVID and social distancing restrictions, etc., that people were dealing with work in new ways. And we thought everyone was affected equally, but actually we found quite a big difference between the Gen Zs, the younger generation, who 51% of them said that they, 49% of them wanted more work-life balance. But it was actually the older generation, the Gen X generation, who I think it was 87% were focused on work-life flexibility. So I was quite surprised with that. The older workers who are probably most familiar with going straight to the office and the regular old way of working are the ones that really are most attached to this work-life flexibility that COVID has forced on us.
Right. Now, it seems that people for the longest time have actually wanted to spend less time in the office. I mean, I put myself in that category, I'll be honest. But did it really take a pandemic to kind of make this happen? Do you think this kind of transition would have happened without it?
It would have happened eventually. I think it would have happened eventually. And it's really interesting. There's a book written in 2005 called The World is Flat. It was a really interesting book by an author called Thomas Friedman. And he noted, I'm not sure if you're aware of it, but it was a good read back at the time. And he noted that the technology existed back in the early 2000s to work remotely and effectively be a digital global economy. And he was prophesizing, what has happened now way back 15 years ago. But it just didn't happen. And I think the reason it didn't happen was, humans are creatures of habit. If we've always got up and had a shower and got in the car or on the train and gone to the office, it's just what we think has to happen. Secondly, there's been, I think, a lack of trust that many managers have been treated in a way that, they weren't trusted to be able to work remotely and autonomously. And so they've just sort of continued that, and no one's broken the cycle. And then lastly, I think ego is a really big a big reason why people couldn't work remotely, because you think about those employees who've worked for their whole career to earn the right to sit in the corner office with the view and look out from their office over their work, their workers. And there's a lot of ego attached to that, getting in the car and having a particular car park in a particular office. And no one wanted to give that up. So
for sure.
Yeah. So I think humans just didn't have the impetus to go out and try working from home, and it had to be forced on us. I do think, as I said, I do think it would have happened eventually. It may have taken 10 years, but we would have got to where we are now. But this has just accelerated all of that and left no reason to argue with those or argue against those things that I just mentioned as to why you can't work from home.
Okay, one final question just before we take a break. Do you think people were generally unhappy about having to go into the office?
No, I don't think they were unhappy at the time. I don't think they were happy commuting, but it was just part of what you had to do. Right. It was only the absence of going to the office that made us realize how much we didn't enjoy going to the office. So it's a little ironic, but no, I don't think people felt particularly unhappy about it. It just, they never had an alternative, and now they've seen the alternative and they realize they can live a more fulfilling life with greater flexibility.
All right. Hold that thought, Ben. We're just going to take a quick break here on Open for Business here on Enterprise. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm on the phone line with Ben Thompson. He's the CEO and founder of Employment Hero. They're a scalable cross-borders employment solution suite for SMEs with comprehensive automated solutions for employee recruitment, management, payroll, and benefits. We'll be right back after these messages here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
From Malaysia, BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back, folks, to Open for Business here on BFM 89.9. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm on the phone line with Ben Thompson, the CEO and founder of Employment Hero. He's on the phone from Sydney. They're a scalable cross-borders employment solution suite for SMEs with comprehensive automated solutions for employee recruitment, management, payroll, and benefits. Recently launched here in Malaysia alongside their survey. And one of those figures in there, Ben, is 87% of SME employees in Malaysia expect better support for career growth from their employers in 2021. Can you just talk to me a little bit about that?
The reasons for looking for new work that we identified in our survey were not related to pay rates and higher pay rates. They were related to career progression and career support. So I think employees just want to know that they are working for a company that is going to help them progress and succeed, and that they do have sort of upward momentum in their career. And if they don't get that feeling that they are going to improve and progress, then that, you know, that is the reason they'll start looking to go elsewhere, according to them.
And do you think that that kind of decision, that response, it is partly due to the fact that now, as we just discussed a little bit earlier, things have changed so rapidly? You know, people can work from home, they can do a lot of stuff from home, and if they feel as though they're not being supported and not being taken seriously, that they could, you know, just essentially walk out and find something easier, or not necessarily easier, but find something else.
Yeah, I think so. I think there is more. If remote work is permanent and there is more, I guess, fluid employment around the planet and that we can all work for anyone from anywhere, then, yeah, maybe there is this feeling that if I can't progress in this job, I can easily find something else. And I think also that there's, because everyone knows that the current situation with COVID-19 is economically distressing for individuals as well as companies, maybe employees just aren't looking for pay rises when they know that their employers can't provide them this year or will have a lot more difficulty providing them this year. Yeah. And therefore, it's more career advancement that's important to them. Mm. Mm.
The next thing I wanted to talk about is sustainability. I know that you guys are big on this. And it's more than a buzzword these days. You know, is there a worry that things might return to pre-pandemic behavior? And how do we ensure that that doesn't happen?
Yeah, so it's been a question in my mind. Are we going to snap back to the way we used to work? And I don't think we will. I think that we've seen the benefits of working remotely and the benefits of having more time with family and more work-life balance, more sleep, better food. So that I think employees are now going to demand more work-life, more flexibility and more availability of remote work. And employers that don't offer that will be recruiting from a smaller talent pool. And I think that's the thing that business owners really need to understand about remote working and working from home, is that if you get your head around the fact that once geography is no longer a constraint to employment, then the world is your talent pool. So if you do accept that, you have more access to talent than you've ever had and ever could have imagined. If you don't accept that, then you'll be recruiting people from, you know, a half hour commute from your office. And that is a drop in the ocean compared to a global talent pool. So
absolutely.
Businesses really need to think about that. This is a paradigm shift and a huge advantage for them, because now they have access to more talent.
I think one of the verticals that really took advantage of this over the past few years, in fact, is the creative industry. You know, you were seeing voiceover work coming from overseas. You were seeing music coming from overseas, video content from overseas. It helped spawn companies like Fiverr and all of this kind of stuff. So clearly, you know, there's a market for it. Clearly, there's success in it. It just worries me that sometimes I've discussed with companies that have been so set in their ways of doing things a particular way, you know, managers that have been there for decades that just keep repeating the same mantra, if it's not broke, don't fix it. You know, how do you convince these people that they have to change?
Well, I think competition and I think competition proves that. You know, if you're comparing, all of us compare ourselves to our peers and try to get a gauge on how well we're performing, whether individually or as a company. And if people start to notice that their competition is expanding more rapidly, is more productive, maybe has a better profit margin, and can access better talent than they can, then, you know, It's a choice between doing things the old way and losing, or doing things the new way and winning. It's you know, business is about finding sustainable strategic advantage in what you do, and that requires that you open your mind to new ways of doing things.
Speaking of which, what's the adoption rate for Employment Hero been like in Southeast Asia? And does this region pose you any particular unique challenges for you and the team?
It's interesting. It's early days for us. We've worked really hard on growing our brand in Australia, and we're very well known in Australia. But now we've expanded into New Zealand and Singapore and Malaysia and the UK. We now have to focus on building our team in Malaysia and building our brand in Malaysia, and understanding the particular needs of the Malaysian economy and businesses. And that's where we are today. So we've had some early success. We're very happy with how it's going, but very early days. In terms of particular differences, I think it's worth understanding that Australia has, I think, the second highest minimum wage in the world after Sweden. Right. And Southeast Asian economies have a much lower minimum wage and therefore are more likely to adopt more cheap labor to get things done than in countries like Australia, where labor is very expensive. And so digital tools like Employment Hero are obviously more attractive. So we have to help educate people that you can use cloud platforms to manage things like payroll and HR and benefits and recruitment, and improve the operations of the business. So I think we have an education piece for many businesses to compare what technology can do with against what cheap labor and lots of cheap labor can do.
I've got two more questions for you before we quickly wrap up. What about local competition? Do you think they offer anything that you guys don't as of yet?
I wouldn't say that they offer things that we don't, but I would say we offer things they don't. So one of the things that we have launched in response to COVID-19 and the remote working revolution is what we call global teams. So Employment Hero is both a technology platform for managing the complete employment lifecycle, but within Employment Hero, our global team service offering means that you can recruit people just about anywhere on the planet and engage them through Employment Hero to work for your business. So if you're looking for developers, you know, we can help you find developers anywhere, and we can employ them for you, pay them for you, and put them into your business digitally through Employment Hero. So this this new global teams service offering that we have is very unique and a huge advantage for businesses that want to expand and find new talent anywhere on the planet.
Final question for you, Ben, and I think it's a fairly obvious one. Future plans then for Employment Hero. You're already here in Southeast Asia. You're in the UK. You're obviously in Australia. More expansion?
Look, for 2021, we're focused on those countries and building our brand and helping as many SMEs in all of those countries as we possibly can. Really also focusing on how do we make employment more rewarding for the employees on our platform. So there's over 300,000 employees employed daily through Employment Hero, and that gives us access to immense buying power for the benefits that our clients can offer their employees. And we're really interested this year in figuring out how do we make every dollar that's paid to an employee go as far as possible for the employees on our platform. And in each of those countries that we've just entered have a slightly different approach to benefits management and how they offer that to their employees. So we have to learn a lot this year and expand rapidly.
Wonderful. Ben Thompson, the CEO and founder of Employment Hero, thank you very much for your time today.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, Richard.
Absolute pleasure. You have been listening to Open for Business here on Enterprise on BFM 89.9. If you missed any part of the show, don't forget you can download the podcast wherever you normally download it from. I suggest the BFM app, which is available in the Apple App Store or Google Play. If you can't get it there, you can stream us via Spotify. My name is Rich Bradbury for BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.